Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us on This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us. We've talked in the program a number of times about identity theft, and there are times when we leave ourselves vulnerable. And when you think about it, and it happens, it's like, geez, I should have done some things differently. I should have protected my privacy a little more. I should have protected my information a little more. For example, you're in a restaurant, you give the waiter the credit card, the guy leaves the room, comes back 20 minutes later, and then you find out something happens. You know, maybe I shouldn't have done that. There are other times when there are security breaches, our data is taken. In some cases, we don't know anything about it, but it's certainly out of our control. That's the story with Leslie McFadden. She's a staff reporter with Bankrate.com. In fact, has written a number of articles about identity theft, and she found out recently that she was a victim. Leslie, welcome to This Week in America. Great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about what happened to you, and we'll sort of set the groundwork, because this can happen to so many people. There are so many agencies out there, so many companies, so many businesses that have our information, social security number, that type of thing. And then we'll talk about how to, you know, not panic and the steps to go through. But first of all, what happened? When did you find out, and how did it happen that your data had been breached?
Sure. Well, I found out about this in early June. And what happened was my alma mater, the University of Florida, had been exposing my complete Social Security number on its website for as long as 5 years. The breach affects not just me, but more than 11,300 students, most of which were notified by letter. I, however, was among 570 people who didn't get a letter because the school didn't have my current mailing address. So really, what's important to take away from my experience is you want to take some precautions if your Social Security number is exposed in a data breach.
And I guess one of the first things you need to do is to, well, let's go back to the very, very basics. You were not notified. You found out, and basically you check these type of things, so you're aware of what's going on. That is your business. For the normal person, is there any type of clearinghouse they can look and find information of different security breaches?
Sure. Well, certainly a good resource is the Identity Theft Resource Center. They keep track of many data breaches. I found out through attrition.org, which has a handy listserv that I check every so often to see what are the latest data breaches. So that's where I saw it originally. And, of course, I was shocked because I never got a letter myself.
Yeah, and I just read recently Ward's, and I didn't even know Ward's was still in business, the old retailer that I think filed bankruptcy. Somebody bought the name, and they've got Ward's.com. Information that they had been breached, hacked into, and they were very slow in telling the public. They did some of the other things they were supposed to do, didn't notify the public. Associated Press got a hold of it, asked questions, and then it came out. But it's not all that frequently when these breaches happen, it doesn't become public.
Well, right, and you know, there can be some delay, whether that's because of investigations or maybe there's no law requiring them to report it quickly. So really you just have to, you know, it's a matter of reading the headlines and just taking steps to protect yourself, you know, regardless of whether there's a breach or not.
Okay, and I guess the next thing you do is try to find out if that information had been accessed. In your case, they really didn't feel that anybody had looked at any of the information. In fact, they said it was sort of like getting home from vacation and finding your front door unlocked, but nobody had broken in.
Well, right, exactly. You know, that's what they told me, and of course, you know, there is no evidence that anybody actually accessed the information, but there's always that chance, and you don't want to wait till you're a victim to do something about it. So I just thought, you know, I will go ahead and take some precautions myself. I will place a fraud alert just in the event that anyone did see the information and might attempt to use it in the future. And so that is one of the things I want to talk about is setting up initial fraud alerts or placing a credit freeze on your credit reports.
Yeah, that's something we hear a whole lot about. There are pros and cons for both. By the way, you're listening to This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us, produced by the Blue Funk Broadcasting Radio Network. Our guest is Leslie McFadden. She is at staff reporter with Bankrate.com. Information on what Leslie's talking about available at Bankrate.com. You can log on to thisweekinamerica.us, and we'll link you up with Leslie. Also, the Identity Theft Resource Center. Linda Foley, the director there, has been on our program several times in talking about this. Let's first talk about fraud alert, which is one of the first things that you should do. How do you do that? How do you go about doing that?
Well, it's actually very easy to set up. You can go to one of the three major credit reporting agencies, Equifax, Experian or TransUnion, and you can request a free initial fraud alert at any one of those agencies, and they will contact the other two for you and set the fraud alert there. And it's free for consumers, and it lasts 90 days. You do have to renew it. They will not do that for you.
And I understand that's something that should be done, because oftentimes someone who gets some information will wait a while. They don't, like, open a new account in your name the next day or use it, you know, within the first week or so. It could take some time to do that, so you would recommend that it should be renewed, maybe for how long?
As I was talking to Linda Foley, she and I were discussing the fact that you really want to renew it every 90 days for a year. At least a year, because, as you said, you know, criminals don't always use the information right away because they know that people are paying attention to the breach. So they might just hold on to it for a while.
So that's important. Now, that's in just talking about the fraud alert. Now let's talk about credit freezes. This is something we read a lot about. It actually is very effective in some cases for people. It's too effective because they may have plans to buy a car or open, you know, they go shopping in a retail store and they want to take the 10% discount they can get that day by opening a credit card. So you just don't get in and out. I mean, you either have a credit freeze or you don't, because it freezes your credit for a period of time. Tell us about a credit freeze, pros and cons.
Sure. Well, the difference between a fraud alert and a credit freeze is like the difference between a beware of dog sign versus the actual pit bull sitting at the front door. The fraud alert is a notation on the credit report warning the issuer to take additional verification steps to authenticate the applicant's identity. And the credit freeze actually prevents the credit grantor or service provider from receiving a copy of the credit report, so they don't actually see it at all. So what you'd have to do if, let's say, you were applying for a new credit card, is you would have to temporarily remove it in advance before applying for the credit card. Otherwise, you just get denied.
And I think something that people need to consider is, that are listening, because we're all across the country, in some states you can't do a credit freeze, I understand?
No, actually, now you can. The credit reporting agencies have all made an effort to allow consumers in all 50 states to place a credit freeze.
Okay.
And if there's no law saying that you can do so in your state, it's going to cost you $10 to remove it and lift it temporarily.
Okay, so if you're thinking about buying a house, buying a car, whatever, you really need to think before you do the credit freeze, because it could cost you and really delay getting a loan of some kind.
Right. It definitely takes some forethought. It's not like the fraud alert, which is free. There is some cost to this unless you can prove that you're a victim of identity theft, which in my case I could, because I managed to get a copy of the police report. So I sent that as proof and I was able to place it for free.
So you need to get a police report and then you can get it for free. Did you have any problems when you got the credit freeze? I mean, were you like, okay, I'm going to rent a new apartment, they're going to check my credit, or were you comfortable with the fact that, okay, this is how it works, I'm not going to be able to get credit real quick?
Right. Well, that's one of the things that people should really realize with the credit freezes. As I said, it does take some forethought. You have to kind of understand how it works. For instance, if you lose your cell phone and you go to get a new cell phone, they'll want to check your credit, and you'd have to remove the freeze in advance. So definitely you have to, you know, put more thought into it, but I went in understanding that, so I was very, you know, comfortable with the fact that I will have to remove it in advance next time.
You've said it in your article where you talked about everything that happened and the steps that you were able to take, that you actually were a lucky victim because they didn't take anything. You were able to find out quickly and to respond quickly, and I assume that's the key, is to be able to find out quickly what happened, what information was breached, if any, and then to take the proper steps and to do it quickly.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things that people should always do, regardless of, you know, whether they're a victim of a data breach or not, is you always want to monitor your credit. And I don't necessarily mean paying for it. You can monitor your credit for free by staggering your free annual credit reports, getting one every 4 months by logging on to annualcreditreport.com. That's something people should do always, just to keep track of changes to their credit report.
Yeah, and that's so important. We'll have that information up on the website because there are companies out there that make you believe you're actually getting the free credit report. You find out you've been, you know, committed yourself for a year to pay $15 a month to get this information, which in some cases is fine, but it's available free, and you're saying stagger this because basically over a couple months period, you can detect anything that's going on that's suspicious in nature.
Exactly. AnnualCreditReport.com is the site you want to go to. And actually, there is a lawsuit settlement recently with TransUnion, and you have until September 24th to go to List Class Action website, and you can sign up for free credit monitoring for TransUnion for 6 or 9 months.
Oh, very good. ListClassAction.com?
Yes, let me verify that website, but I believe that's correct.
Okay.
In fact, that article is up on our website right now.
Perfect. Leslie McFadden is the guest on This Week in America, our website, thisweekinamerica.us, produced by the Blue Funk Broadcasting Radio Network. Leslie's a staff reporter with Bankrate.com. Go there and get all sorts of information. If you think you've been a victim, it gives you the steps you need to go through. There's a lot of good information you will find there at Bankrate.com. I think a key that you talk about is when someone has taken your Social Security number. That's really the big red flag. You really need to take all the precautions at that time, correct?
Correct. As soon as you find out that your Social Security number has been exposed, I think you really want to make an effort to either place a fraud alert or a credit freeze if you're comfortable with that. Pull your free credit reports. Just do something to protect your credit because you really don't want to wait till you're a victim.
When we think of identity theft, we keep talking about credit cards and thinking about credit cards. There are other ways that people, it's not that uncommon to find someone that's using your social security number to get a job. They're using your identity to get a job because they can't with theirs. And you talk about ways that you can check that, too, to make sure that nobody else is using your social security card for employment.
Right. You can go to check with the Social Security Administration and request to see who's been paying taxes.
Right. And you get sort of, and I guess you get this from time to time anyway, from Social Security that tells you how much you've earned. And if you see some real deviations there, then it's time to look into that as well.
Exactly. And there are many ways that people can become victims of identity theft. It's, you know, we've talked about data breaches, but there's also dumpster diving, there's phishing emails and phishing phone calls, there's malware attacks, lost and stolen wallets. So there are actually many ways that these can get a hold of your information.
You have been writing about this for some time. We've done a number of programs where we have people come on and talk about this, and we find that it's still a problem. How big, you know, are people catching on that I really need? I'm talking again about these occasions where we actually are somewhat vulnerable because of actions we take. Are people catching on and understanding on the internet? I don't give out this information. I don't give it out on a phone call. Are people catching on and really trying to eliminate some of these problems?
Well, a recent survey we did in our financial literacy issue on identity theft indicates that people really do shred unimportant documents, and that is definitely something that's really important. But it's not just shredding documents. I mean, you really want to limit the exposure of your Social Security number in your everyday life. You don't want to write it on your checks. You don't want to carry your Social Security card in your wallet unless necessary to do so. You don't want to respond to alarming emails that look like they're coming from your bank. You want to call your bank instead if you're concerned. And shredding documents is a good idea, you know, shredding anything unnecessary that contains personal information. There are many ways that you can protect yourself. And we have lots of tips on Bankrate.com.
You know, you mentioned carrying Social Security, and when I started doing this, I realized I have my Social Security. I lost it once, had to go through the hassle of getting another one, and I have it with me. And it's like, in my billfold, I have my Social Security number that's right there, driver's license that has all the information on there as well, credit cards. That basically is one stop for a person that's going to steal the identity theft. They have everything they need to take over my life.
Yes, that's true. And one of the things that you can do is just limiting the cards that you carry in your wallet. If you know you're not going to use certain credit cards, you know, don't carry around. The more you're carrying around, the more risk you're carrying around. So really you want to limit what you're carrying at all times.
That's a good way to look at that. And I assume write down information on what you have in your billfold, your wallet, so purse, so if something is stolen, you know exactly who you need to call right away.
Right, and one great tip that I've heard in the past is just emailing yourself all the numbers that you would need to call if you lost your wallet. That way that you can, you know, you can access your email from somewhere else if you need to, and then you can call all those numbers to rectify the problem.
Very good. Unfortunately, we were out of time. If anybody, by the way, took my identity, they'd probably give it back in a couple of days and say, okay, you handle this, dude. I want no part of this. I'm going to go for somebody else. Leslie McFadden has been our guest on This Week in America. Leslie's staff reporter with Bankrate.com. Go to Bankrate.com. It's great to check information not only on identity theft, but a whole lot of financial issues out there. Bankrate.com. Our website is thisweekinamerica.us, and you can check on there a lot of information, and we'll link you up with Leslie's website, Bankrate.com. You're listening to This Week in America. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us.
This Week in America with Rick Bratton.
Finding balance in the home with kids back in school. Next on This Week in America, as Rick talks with Taylor Wilshire, author of The Book of Mom.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.